So that is cluster two is on mapping, and the take on we have of the mapping methodology is pretty much pretty much highlights the circularity Jeff talked about previously. Actually, we have two strands, you could say. Actually, they're very much interlinked, but let's say we have two strands. One is looking at mapping as a method we could use and we would want to use in order to illustrate ideas about how security practices unfold. And also, the second strand is looking at mapping as a object of inquiry. In other words, looking at the mappings established by security professionals and look at their performativity and productivity. What do they do? And of course, there is a interaction between these two strands, between mapping as a method and mapping as an object. Hence the circularity Jeff talked about. But the reason for which we actually started with this take on the issue of mapping is actually that we had different perspectives or interests in mapping. If I would simplify it, I'd say that Christopher and Victoria rather work on mapping as an object, although they also use it as a method. But let's say that compared to Anna and myself, they look at mapping as an object, whereas Anna and myself, we originally used it mainly as a method in order to map security practices. For example, Anna works on the mapping of small arms, and myself on the mapping of security practices. Christopher works on the history of measurement and standardization of measures, and Victoria, amongst others, on the GIS and its role in peace operations. So we really had all different take-ons on this subject of mapping, and hence this very broad definition in which we looked both at mapping as a method and as an object. But of course, both of these aspects interact, and one can analyze the circularity that it creates, for example, by looking at trying to map the activity of mapping on the part of security professionals. More on that when we'll talk about the wiki. I will not go into the details here, but mapping the mapping activity on the part of security professionals is one of the things we try to do. Also look at counter mappings, in other words, mappings that try to subvert the mappings established by security professionals. That is another way of highlighting this interaction, this circularity between mapping as a method we would like to use or could use, and mapping as an object of inquiry. So that was that is our take on that is the approach within our cluster. Concerning the activities we've had. We've mainly done four things, five including the wiki, but I won't talk about that. The four things is, firstly, we have discussed a text by Walters on mapping as anti-political economy. Second thing is engaging with Bourdieu through a reading of La Distinction. Looking at how he uses mapping and how that could be used for us and in security, critical security studies in general. Third thing is looking at critical geopolitics. And fourth is actor network theory. How does that allow to map controversies within the world of security professionals? So that is what we've done, the fifth aspect being the wiki, but I won't talk about that. There are two very broad themes that arise from the activities we've had and the discussions we've had both on Skype and on the forum. One theme is the very broad aspect, or let's say the broad character of looking at mappings. There is an ever presence of mappings. The spatial metaphors, especially in security studies, are very frequent. One talks of borders, both the borders of concepts and physical borders.
Sorry.
Also, notions of topology, topography, of course the field, social spaces, physical and ideational borders. All of these spatial representations are very much present in the vocabulary of security studies and in social sciences at large. So we try to look at, what are the limits, the outer limits of mapping? The idea is that everything actually involves spatialization. Many activities are linked to mapping, mapping endeavors, and all activities can be mapped. For example, we have a spatial representation of time as an arrow going from left to right. Logical reasonings can be mapped. So potentially, it's a very broad field, empirical field to look at mapping, and it almost functions as an a priori category of thinking that we always have a spatial representation of non-spatial elements. So that is the first topic, this very broad dimension of mapping. The second is the inherent limitations, of mapping in both as an object and as a method we could use. And here, when talking about the limitations of mapping, I think there are three critiques. The first one is that mapping is often, is always arbitrary in the sense that although what you represent is very frequently real, there are also elements of arbitrariness. For example, orientation, skills, symbols, and perspectives that are arbitrary to the extent that you could look always at the map from a different vantage point, and in that case, you would have a different map. So there is always an arbitrary character in any map. Secondly, a second critique of mappings, a second critique of maps is that they assume things from the reader of the map, and often these things that are assumed are not openly shown. One assumes things, but without necessarily being conscious of it. And the third critique is that mappings are actually very constraining, because when one looks at, social relations through a spatial representation, then you have a set of conditions that constrain your mapping. For example, of course, a map would be finite dimensional, whereas social relations are not necessarily finite dimensional. A map has unity, since you are to represent social reality in one map, or at least one specific social reality in one map, linearity. And if one goes more into details, when you have a map with different points, which is usually what you would have if you map security practices, then the relation between the points that are represented on the map these relations are characterized, well, they have two mathematical characteristics. The first is symmetry. In other words, the distance from a point A to a point B is the same as the distance from a point B to from the same point B to the same point A. So symmetry, and the second element is transitivity, which means that, for example, if A, the point A is above point B, and point B is above point C, then point A is above point C. And of course, these mathematical characteristics of any spatial representation are very constraining. For example, if one represents oneself a relationship of domination between social classes, one would have upper class, middle class, and lower class. Between these classes, you have symmetry and transitivity, which means, which actually means that the upper class is conscient of its domination, and the underclass is conscient of its of being dominated. Okay, so I'll finish on that. And what it means is that, so why is it constraining? Because, first of all, it presupposes that there is a social reality in which all social actors use the same metrics to measure social status, in this example, which is not necessarily the case in social reality. One might look at social status based on religion or based on money or based on any type of capital. And secondly, this kind of mapping supposes that all actors have internalized their position, which in social reality is not necessarily the case. So from that point of view, mappings are very constraining. But for practical purposes, we actually try to use mappings both critically, as I've just done, but also as a way of investigating and showing things about security practice. So I'll stop there.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Cluster.